Hello, I'm Adam Evans with the NIRS News. The Commissioner overseeing legal recognition of Torres Strait Islander customary adoption in Queensland says similar legislation should be implemented around Australia. Commissioner Cizark of Meribah Amaska Kazia Kazipa says the state now provides a process to legally recognise the island custom where a child is gifted by birth parents to another family member. It's the Commissioner's role to consider legal recognition and make orders to change birth records, recognising the new parents under the practice. Commissioner Mazza says there are many other Indigenous practices around Australia predating Western laws that should be officially acknowledged.
It's been practiced by Torres Strait Islander people since time immemorial, and it continues to be practiced to this day. And prior to the legislation, it wasn't recognised. In fact, there were some acts in the past that even criminalised the gifting of this child to other family members, where I talked about what it involves, the gifting from the birth parents to the cultural parents. But now, with the acts being passed in 2020, families can come. It's a quick, simple application, and it results in a cultural recognition order being granted and the issuance of a brand new birth certificate, which reflects the person's cultural identity and their legal identity, which are now married up.
Olympic breakdancer Rachel Gunn says she's been left devastated by the response to her performance in Paris. In a statement yesterday, the Australian Olympic Committee slammed an online petition criticising Dr. Gunn as bullying and harassment and demanded it be taken down. It appears to have been taken down, however, another one has sprung up in its place. In a video to social media, the 36-year-old, known as Ray Gunn, says she received an influx of hate comments since her performance at the Olympics.
I really appreciate the positivity, and I'm glad I was able to bring some joy into your lives. That's what I hoped. I didn't realise that that would also open the door to so much hate, which has frankly been pretty devastating.
New South Wales police have charged a man over the murder of a woman 25 years ago. It was thought that 53-year-old Denise Gunvinder was killed during a home invasion in Sydney's East in March 1998. An 81-year-old man, reported to have been her husband at the time of her death, has been charged with her murder. Detective Superintendent Danny Doherty says it's alleged he fabricated the story of the home invasion to cover up her murder.
Getting fresh medical evidence, getting fresh forensic evidence, and really building a circumstantial case, which we will allege in court is a strong circumstantial case, where we led today that we had sufficient evidence to charge this man now with murder.
New figures show it's the deadliest year on Australian roads since 2012. In the 12 months to the end of July, 1,327 people died on the country's roads. That's a 10% increase on the previous year. The Northern Territory recorded the biggest increase in road deaths, up a staggering 174%. South Australia, Tasmania and the ACT were the only jurisdictions to record a decline. The highest number of deaths was New South Wales, where 363 people were killed on the roads. We'll have more coming up next.
Hello, Natasha Short here, inviting you to join me for Money Talks. It's the latest series of conversations in partnership between Kibble Jigars and Wurundjeri Media. It features interviews and advice on all things money. We all need it, but how do we best manage it? How do we protect and grow it to gain control of our finances and improve the lives of our family and communities? And a lot more. Join me for Money Talks on Wurundjeri Media, Galari, Packham Network and the National Indigenous Radio Service, bringing all us mob together around money.
To sport, and the National Rugby League Integrity Unit has issued South Sydney star player Latrell Mitchell with a breach notice, saying a recent image of him has brought the game into disrepute. A photo allegedly showing Mitchell with a white substance was shared online on Monday. The NRL has issued a breach notice alleging Mitchell had breached the NRL Code of Conduct. Mitchell has 5 days to respond to the breach notice. To stay up to date with the NIRS news, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, or visit our website at nirs.org.au. And if you missed a bulletin, you can catch up on the Community Radio Plus app.
Did you know that drinking any alcohol while you're pregnant can harm your bub? It's hard to stop drinking, but if you choose to drink alcohol while you're pregnant, it can leave your bub with all sorts of problems that can last their whole life. Remember, pregnancy and grog don't mix. If you need to yarn about it, visit your local Aponipama clinic and wellbeing centre. We're here to help. Our health and our bubba's health is in our hands.
Station sponsor.
There's a simple private and free test you can do to detect early signs of bowel cancer. If you're over 50, you should receive a screening kit in the mail every 2 years. You can also order a kit online or talk with your health worker. It's important to do the test as soon as you can. Too many of our mob are getting sick from bowel cancer. That's why I did the test and encouraged my community to do it too. If found early, almost all bowel cancers can be treated. Screening for bowel cancer can help you stay strong and healthy for yourself, your family, and community. For more information, have a yarn with your health worker or visit IndigenousBowelScreen.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Indigenous Radio Service. Big shout out to the NIRS team. All right, to Deadly, Bangarra's 2024 Dance Clan has been announced. We're talking about for over 25 years, Dance Clan has fostered the talents of new generation of storytellers, designers, dancers and choreographers. Well, this year, three of their own artists will tell their own stories. With that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with one of the performers, Callum Gulagung. And a very good morning, Callum. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, mate. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Callum.
Hello, everyone. My name is Callum Gulagung. Proud Raja man from Condoblin and also a proud Darkin young man from the Central Coast.
To Delhi, brother. Beautiful footprint. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about 2024 Dance Clan has been announced. So, Callum Gulagung, you're one of them. Who are the other two, my brother?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Oh, sorry. We're talking about this year, your three artists are telling their own stories. You're one of the artists. Who are the other two artists, brother?
The other two artists, so you got myself, and you got Lillian Banks, a pro Yaru woman from Broome.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Daniel Mateo. He's got ties to Tonga and the Kamilaroi man. And he's also, but he's doing the dance film. So Lillian will be the other choreographer, and Daniel is part of the dance film with Director Cap.
Well, to Delhi, now we as First Nation people, we are storytellers, whether we're sitting around a campfire or we're playing the song telling our story, or we use our body to deliver through dance. And that's exactly what you three will be doing. Yep, paint that picture.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm one of the choreographers, so I'll be dancing. I'll be making the dance on the Bangar Ensemble, as well as Lillian Banks. She'll be making another original work for herself about her land and her story through dance movement. And Daniel will be telling some sort of dance film through his movement of how he's trying to tell a story about he's got a poem that he writes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to try and express his narrative through some the dance film and tell it.
Yeah, fantastic. And where will the show be performed, my friend?
It's at Bangarra, the wharf where we work at our studio.
Okay.
And tickets go on sale on Monday.
On Monday, yep. And when will the show be happening? What dates?
when you look for the tickets, you'll be able to see the dates on that. I'm not too sure, but it'd be end of November, start of December.
Deadly. It sounds like a fantastic show, bro. Can we share it with the rest of the country? Will you be taking this on the road?
Possibly. Like, this is what the program's for. It's
okay.
To start up the new creatives, the young up-and-coming generation to see, you know, to express their talent.
Mm.
You know, all throughout the program, there's all different kind of black actors, excellencies, like the music, the stage production, even the choreographers were all, like, young Indigenous.
And all black operated, all black performers. Exactly. Beautiful black space, my brother.
That's it.
Too deadly. Now, tell us a bit about your story, brother. How long have you been with Bangarra?
This is my 6th year with Bangarra.
6 year, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be going on 7 next year.
Good, good. And how do people get in Bangarra? Do you have, like, an audition phase? How do people get involved?
Well, because I started off at NASDA, which
NASDA,
is
yes.
an offspring of Bangarra. So I started off there, so I had that kind of connection through NASDA to Bangarra. But, there's a thing called with that we have is the Russell Page program, which is for a graduate to get the experience into a dance company.
Mm-hmm.
So you audition for that for Bangarra, and over the course of the year, they train you to become what is a professional dancer, and then then you go onwards from that.
True,
so you
either
stay with us, or you go off on your own journey.
So as a student from NASDA, 4 years there, then Bangarra have auditions. Is that how you become part of Bangarra? Do you have to perform like to be a part of the program as such?
So when you audition, it's a long day audition, and then after that, we already have like a schedule plan on how we want the following year to come. So you just slot into that.
Yeah.
And you come up, you come perform with us. You do our training just like us. You essentially work as a dancer with us.
Now, as a dancer / become choreographer, it's a fantastic career because you get to travel as well. You're learning culture, and when you're in another man's country, whether you're in the Torres Straits or whether you're Darwin or what have you, you're learning from the traditional owners. So that in itself is a powerful educational tool.
No, 100%, for sure.
Yeah,
like, we're always constantly learning about different stories. Like, every year we've got a new, we'll create a new work, so we go back to country, we learn about the stories, about the dances there, and then we give back the story. So
give back,
So
you get permission from the elders to do that, don't you?
Yeah, all the time. We're in constant communication regarding the work. Like, if we need to change the work, we call them up and make sure that it's allowed by them. In the contemporary concept of it.
Yeah, so protocol's front and centre, isn't it? The respect part.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, of course.
So you can emphasise, brother, to other young brothers and sisters out there, you can make a career in dance, yes.
Oh, for sure. Like, I was one of them people that didn't even know that this could be a career. So
exactly.
For me to be now getting the opportunity to create my own work and expressing my dialogue within myself, I think it's a great pathway for young Indigenous black men and women to see if they can take.
Well, like I said, we're storytellers, and you're dancing your way through life telling the stories, my brother.
Yeah, exactly.
Color too deadly. Well, I want to give a big shout out to my beautiful sister, Alana, who was with NASDA. AIDT back in the day, and danced with Marilyn Miller, and of course the Blanco Mob, Raymond Blanco, and of course Brothers, with David Russell and Stephen, and look, fantastic brother. So I'm feeling you know where you're at, and it is a powerful tool. Congratulations, Dance Clan announced for 2024. Keep doing what you do, my brother. And also a big shout out to Lillian Banks as well as Daniel Mateo, brother. I think it's great. And they can go online to purchase tickets for bengara.com.au, yes?
Yes, of course.
And see you guys in action. Well, break a leg, my brother, and we will yarn soon, Callum.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
See you dearly, brother. Well, beautiful yarn, and that's Callum Goolagong. He's one of the announced performers for Dance Clan Bengara 2024. And this year, three of the artists will tell their own stories, developing into original dance works and one dance film. And those artists are, of course, Callum Goolagong, Lillian Banks, and Daniel Mateo. Too deadly. Do check out your mob. And for you young ones out there, yes, dance can become a career. Get to travel the country, if not the world, in regard to performing on stage. Shake booty, so to speak, but also learning culture. Too deadly. Have your say. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. And that's BBM, Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. And have you saying yarn up strong. National Talk Black, too deadly.
Open up my heart to relieve the pressure. Building on my chest. Was an invitation. You to unload your stress. Life without meaning. A vessel without a soul. Euphoria is finally achieved when we all just lose control. So take it easy. And take it easy. Here we go right now. I can't believe my life, cause it's heading in the wrong direction. And how many brothers out there getting lost in an intersection? I can't believe my woman just left me all alone. And even though I got four walls, this house doesn't really feel like home. She said you better not call if you don't got nothing to say. Been staring at a wall with my thoughts in silence. Just wait on my mind, wait on my mind. Get it off with a little bit of rum and a coffee mug. Just a little bit of rum and a coffee mug. We all want freedom deep in our souls. Should've got my stuff together many, many moons ago. Stimulate your mind. Socially connected, artificially creating bonds. Future for the children needs more than likes and shares. Pretend you're not listening and make out like you don't care. She said you better not call if you don't got nothing to say. Been staring at a wall with my thoughts in silence. Just wait on my mind, wait on my mind. Get it off. A little bit of rum and a coffee mug. Just a little bit, 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 just a little bit of rum and a coffee mug.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM. BBM.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too, Deadly. All right, IndigiGrow paves the way to increasing biodiversity with a weekend for the whole family. We're talking about looking after native plants, talking about planting. We're talking about looking after our country. We're going to catch up a yarn with Peter Cooley, who's the CEO of First Hand Solutions, and talk about this fantastic space. On the line, Peter, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Thanks for allowing me to join your program and you know, share with your listeners.
No, thank you, my brother. And before we start, Peter, can you let the mob know who your mob, where you from?
Yeah, I'm from I'm a proud Bidjigal man from the La Perouse Aboriginal community. And if the listeners are not sure where La Perouse is, well, we're on the northern foreshore of Botany Bay, about 10 minutes drive east of Sydney Airport on the coastline.
Fantastic, beautiful. First Hand Solutions, that's your corporation, your company there. Tell us about First Hand Solutions, please, Peter.
Yeah, look, First Hand Solutions, we do a lot of work around working with mob, you know, particularly around economic development, culture, and I suppose biodiversity and the environment. I've spoke to your listeners before where we run the National Indigenous Art Fair at the cruise ship terminal at Circular Quay.
Yes.
But we also run an all-Aboriginal market here in Sydney called the Black Markets, which is now starting to move around New South Wales, and that's about supporting small Aboriginal businesses in arts, craft, tourism and bush foods. Yeah. And then we run, an important project called IndigiGrow, which I started 7 years ago, and it was about, being able to engage our young people, giving them an apprenticeship in horticulture, but part of their job is also connecting them to country and passing on cultural knowledge from our old people about our plants. Ultimately, our young people then going on and start caring for country by being able to propagate and grow our local plants, because it's important for us here in Sydney. I'm not sure if the wider Australian community realises, but on Sydney's coastline here, we only have 3% of our traditional plants remaining. The biggest impacts have been development on Sydney's coast. So for us as traditional custodians in this part of country, when you have such a small amount of your coastal vegetation remaining, it's not a good feeling knowing that the old people and the ancestors come for us did such a great job in nurturing all of that and looking after that, and we now have that responsibility and we have to deal with the process of colonisation and one of Australia's biggest cities on our doorsteps and a lot of traditional country affected.
Well, we're talking about your corporation, First Hand Solutions. What I'm picking up, Peter, is having black hands turned into green fingers, so to speak, and looking after our country, looking after our native plants. I think it's beautiful, brother. And very important, important.
It's really important for us to be leading the way. There's a lot of, we still have a lot of cultural knowledge around country and caring for country and with our old people, and that's the beauty about it, is that that knowledge has been passed on to our young people, and our young people are actually the ones that are driving the revival of our coastal plant community. So the young people from community are out there every day working and increasing our local biodiversity, which it improves the environment, it improves our whole landscape for not just our people, but all people in Sydney. It's really important work that our young people are doing.
Well, we can't have our native plants dying out. So, like I said, a very important space there, and connection to country is making it real when you've got native plants growing on country and surviving. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our biodiversity is our sustainability.
Exactly.
And when that's out of whack, when that's out of balance, our country is not sustainable. Mm. So there's a huge amount of work to be done, not just in reviving these species, but also the horticultural industry in general. There's a huge amount of work, particularly education, around the effects on our native plants and our animals, etc. Mm. That the widespread introduction of non-native plants is having,
of course,
with our plants and animals, it really is.
Well, non-native plants, you could say. I'm just saying, Peter, that non-native plants could become like a weed for our native plants, could it not?
Well, they basically are.
Yes.
And as it stands at the moment, government is spending, billions of dollars on trying to eradicate seed that has escaped from the backyards, non-native seed that has escaped from the backyards, and it's found its way into our native areas, and it really is impacting, and affecting our native biodiversity.
Yes. And we're talking about Indigidro is launching Caring for Country. First of all, what's Indigidro? And tell us about the Caring for Country program, brother.
Yeah, Indigidro is a basically a native plant initiative that I started here to try and provide opportunities for our young people and employ them and pass on cultural knowledge. Growing up in a city, it's really difficult for our young kids to continue culture and continue getting that cultural knowledge that is the foundation of well-being and makes them strong and resilient. And so if we're to do that, we have to create initiatives that allow us to do that, and that's why I created Indigigo, and the vehicle for doing that is through our native plants.
Beautiful.
There's a lot of knowledge still in community with the old people, with our local plants, and I just wanted to get kids, off screens, get them back out, connected on country, and have that cultural grounding, and at the same time, give them an apprenticeship in horticulture, so they come out with that, lifelong skills and nationally recognised training, but at the same time, they come out culturally strong, and then they can look after country.
No, that's fantastic. How do you engage with the young ones? Is it through schools, or how do you do that, brother?
Well, I mean, all of the young apprentices and the Indigenous staff, well, they all come from the La Perouse Aboriginal community. We're based in La Perouse.
Okay.
And, all the staff come from our community. So we really are providing quite big impacts in the community by providing all those jobs.
Mm.
And what's been really pleasing out of it is that towards the end of last year, I had six full-time apprentices.
Mm-hmm.
And when we finished 2023 and entered into 2024, we only had three, and that's because three of them finished their apprenticeship.
Mm.
So we've taken those young kids, all the way from not knowing much about plants to now being leaders in our plants. And two of those apprentices have now gone on and become our nursery managers at both of our nurseries. So it's really provided that that pathway, that leadership pathway, and they're now managers.
Look, that's beautiful, and it's not about come and go, but come and grow, partner punt. They've moved on, but they've grown in regard to their knowledge, and they are continuing the growth of planting native trees, and it's powerful, brother. Congratulations, Peter. You're going to be excited about that.
Oh, very, very excited, and I think before we see out 2024, we'll have some more additions. We'll have some more apprentices come on board, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Fantastic.
Young members of our community can join us and, start their journey on getting that qualification and that cultural knowledge, but more so, on that journey to becoming young leaders in the community.
Yes. Now, First Hand Solutions, so you've got a nursery as such. Is it open for the public? Do you retail your plants as such?
Yeah, we've got two nurseries
okay.
In the local community, so they're not far apart.
Yes.
but our LaPerouse nursery is where all of our customers come.
Yes.
You know, and we've been a retail nursery since we began. But this Saturday, we take a huge leap forward and in launching our Caring for Country program. And under that program, we've just discussed, you know, what that means. But also another part of it is that we want to engage the community to jump on board and help us increase our biodiversity much quicker. So
more hands to
engage them.
Yeah.
Is we're launching as part of the Caring for Country program. We're going to be selling plants from now on this Saturday onwards at wholesale prices to the public, and that just means that plants become more accessible and more affordable for Australians, and which means we get more native plants planted on country.
Beautiful.
And that can only be a good thing.
Well, look, a growth industry, partner punt, in more ways than one, my brother. Thank you for your yarn. Big shout to First Hand Solutions, also in DigiGrow. Keep doing what you're doing, my brother. And, look, living the dream, brother. I feel that, Peter.
Yeah, look, and if any of your listeners are from Sydney, are based in Sydney, feel free to come out to the nursery on Saturday morning. We're open all weekend, but we'll have some official, official kickoff at 9:40 with a welcome to country from one of our local elders, Annie Barb.
Yes.
But it will be launched by our federal environment minister, Tanya Plibersek, at 9:55.
Beautiful. Now, your address there, please, brother.
Yeah, we're on the corner of Bunurong Road and Yarra Road, Phillip Bay. We're actually based in the grounds of LaPerouse Public School, and our entrance is in Yarra Road.
Beautiful, fantastic. Well, good luck with it all, my brother. Stay strong, Black Deadly, and we'll yarn soon, Peter.
Thanks, Trevor. Appreciate the time on your program.
Take care, brother. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Deadly yarn, beautiful yarn. Peter Cooley, his name is, CEO of First Hand Solutions. So do Google it, check it out, First Hand Solutions. You mob in Sydney, go and check out what's happening on the weekend, and check out Indigigrow as well. Indigigrow, that's one word, .com.au. So do check it out. Fantastic. And it's about paving the way to increasing biodiversity for native plants, and so they don't die out. It's so very important. There it is. Have you seen Yana Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Yana with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, 1 hour program live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM, Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM. National Talk Black. Yes, let's yarn, you mob, too deadly.
Ooh, they gon' know my name. They gon' know my name. They gon' know my name. I wanna make you sore. I wanna hit the feel. Yeah, I'm gonna sing it live, so you know it's real. Create the kind of love to give the world a light. Shine it till you can't ignore that you're feeling right. Take a look.
When you're feeling right,
when
Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wootshopperin on 40801080 to learn more. Thinking about your body next to mine, butterflies gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember.
Hey, love. It's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your Delhi program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumrabib Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you seen Yanup Strong, New Mob, too, Deadly? All right, Mianjin Songlines. That's what we're talking, Brisbane Festival. Look, happening very soon. It's great to have some black faces, black voices on stage. And with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn with beautiful cousin sister, Rochelle Pitt, Soul Mama. Got her on the line. Soul Mama, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning, my deadly cousin brother. How are you?
I'm well, darling. I'm well. So good to hear your voice. Darling, before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, so, of course, Pitt, as you hear my last name there, Pitt. Mm. Some people know me as Rochelle Pitt Watson as well.
Yes.
So,
okay.
I mean, I grew up with my dad who grew me up, Lenny Watson, which is of the Watson family from the old Birrigubba, Wirri clan, Birrigubba, and also Gungaloo. But grew up around that Brisbane area there. Pitt family, of course, from my dad, my two dads, dad, David Necco Pitt, and he's our family, Pitt family from Erb and Mer way as well. So Eastern Islands of the Torres Strait. So I identify both as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander. So that Aboriginal line as well is from my grandmother, the Nobles side.
Mm.
Yes, that's still connected to Nobles. We're Yarrabah there. We all connect back. We're Palm Island.
Yes, yes.
But also bloodline connection to Quandamooka country. So Noogie, Noonuckle there. And Cubby Cubby. Yeah.
Beautiful, my darling. Now, you're based in Brisbane?
Yes, I now live in Brisbane. I am a registered nurse as well. You know, a lot of mobs, I do my nursing, love looking after my mob, my people, empowering my people in health. But yeah, I have a job in Brisbane, so this is where I relocated with my family. And yeah, it definitely opened the doors a lot more for my music and my singing as well.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, and just finished that NAIDOC ball, Deadly Brisbane NAIDOC ball, which went off.
Yeah, Deadly. Yes, fantastic. Good, good, good.
Yeah.
And a bit of background regarding the X Factor Australia back in 2014, yes?
Yeah, I did that. Now, brother, we're looking at, that's 10 years ago now. That was
there you go, look out.
14.
And 14, be, know, 14 years before that is when Cathy Freeman won the gold medal, you know?
Shut your mouth.
Time is flying, sister. Is flying.
I don't know if that's 2004 or that. But, I've been singing for, well, that X Factor. So it was good. It sort of put me on the national stage as well, you know, and opened up the doors for me there.
Yes.
And so I had my kids, so I had a big break from singing. So once I, you know, the kids grew up a bit, I auditioned for that show, X Factor, and then, as I said, opened the doors up and I was able to get into my singing again.
Yeah, too deadly.
But also I was in Cairns at the time.
You were, yes.
I was up home there. So, you know, I had Austronesia. I had the opportunity to get into choir singing with Austronesia. They're Will Kepper and Rubina Kimia.
Yeah, beautiful.
I loved it and was able to do shows with them. And it sort of gave my confidence back to sing and
Get out
there, yeah.
And before we talk about Mianjin songlines, let's talk about your professional hat that you wear and the work that you do in health too, my sister.
Sorry, what was that, brother?
Before
what
we talk about Mianjin songlines, let's talk about your professional hat in regard to health and the work that you're doing there, sister.
Yeah, so, well, at the moment, I'm a clinical nurse consultant with the Department of Health here in Brisbane. I'm sitting, this is a seconded position because my permanent position is as nurse navigator for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in Metro South, which is the south of Brisbane. It's Queensland Health.
Of course.
And I'm still in Queensland Health, but I'm doing more state work now. And I'm one of my main jobs here is to put together a statewide elders and community advisory group.
Beautiful.
Which I'm really excited about. So hopefully people listening to this now who want to have a say and tell Queensland Health straight on how we need to look after our people and our health, please think about jumping on this committee. But we'll come up there for a yarn and, with community and see who would be interested at some stage soon this year. But, yeah, that's my job at the moment. And,
And also, darling, look, I'm just saying, we talk about health and now we're talking about me engine song lines.
Yeah,
and your beautiful voice is good for the health, good for the spirit, soul, and ears, my dear. So in the heart.
Music therapy.
Thank you. So let's talk about Me Engine Songlines and Brisbane Festival. They're having a black space there. This is first, is it? Isn't it?
Oh, brother, it's a long time coming. We're 2024, and finally, we have an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander music festival in Me Engine, Brisbane.
Well, hello.
Yeah, as part of the Brisbane Festival program or festival they have every year. We've only just had little parts in it. You know, where they'd like to get the traditional dancers in to come and do a bit of traditional dancing, welcome to country. That's been it.
Mm.
But we've been pushing and pushing, especially brother Shannon Ruska and his wife Kay, been pushing to have it opened up so that our contemporary singers and all of our musicians and singers in community have a chance to be on a stage and perform for the wider Brisbane community. So this is our Me Engine Songline. Yeah.
Oh, too deadly, beautiful.
Excited.
So, darling, that's happening on what date? Where are we having?
So that's on the 1st of September.
September, yep, there it is.
It'll be South Bank. There is, I can't tell you exactly, if you might have the stage name there. There's all different stages in that South Bank area.
Oh, okay.
But, I think it's Stanley Street, but there is a particular stage it's on. And it'll be in the afternoon, so probably starting around about 5 o'clock or
5 o'clock,
so. But,
beautiful.
And I'll be on around that time.
And look, big shout out to our deadly brothers out there, Fred Leon, one of them, you know. But sister, you're the only female on stage, so what's up with that? Girls can do anything.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, thank you to brother Shannon Ruska and Kay, for thinking of me. I've lived in Brisbane for quite a while, so I claim up that Brisbane Black status as well.
Yeah,
I'm one of the Brisbane Black / Cairns Black.
Claim it.
But they know my singing, my voice here, because I've sang for many years in Brisbane. And this black community here in Me Engine have been very supportive of their singers, you know. So he wanted me on to start off this first of a festival, music festival, Me Engine Songlines.
Well, it opens the door, doesn't it, my sister?
Yeah, I want more women to come through, though, so hopefully we get more female singers,
To do a little big shout out to Brisbane Festival in regard to our premier event and having a space there for our black people, Me Engine Songlines, happening on 1 September. Is that a free event?
Oh, it sure is, yes. Good. It's free to come along. And we want to see our mob support, you know, if we can have you all there front and centre row, you know, we'll make it a blackout.
Yeah, there it is.
I
heard
deadly.
It. Too deadly.
Yeah.
Beautiful, my sister. Well, thank you very much. Good yarning with you. Look, stay deadly, my sis, and looking forward to seeing you soon, okay?
You too, my brother. All my love to you and the family.
Okay, one
thanks
love, sissy. All right.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, darling. Yo.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there, and there it is, Rochelle Watson-Pitt, Soul Mama. And Soul Mama is performing their Me Engine Songlines at the premier event of the Brisbane Festival, and that's happening 1 September. Lock it in, you mob, so too deadly. Lock it in and see our mob perform. And we've got the likes of Fred Leone, who's the main artist performing. We got the Nungulung Burra clan of the Butchala mob. And also we have Hayes, Dark Moods, of course, Rochelle Watson-Pitt there, H-Town, Edgar Conlon. So there it is, name a few who are performing. And Sister Rochelle, the only female. So what up, girls? Get involved, you know. But it's great to have a black space there at the Brisbane Festival in about time, long time between drinks. To Deadly, your daily program here, National Talk Black, Yarn Up Strong. A big shout-out to Gary. That's Gary there from Hopevale. And he's tunes in all the time in this program, so big shout out. I met him at the wedding of the mayor of Hopevale, Bruce Gibson. Congratulations. His lovely wife, Jashiel, who's now a Gibson, Too Deadly represent, and too beautiful. Congratulations, you guys, on your wedding there on the weekend, Too Deadly. And Yarn Up Strong, you mob. And, once again, Gary Port, that's the brother. Big shout-out, brother. I know you tuned in, listening. He said he turned the tractor off, always ever listen to National Talk Back. So, okay, it's coming to the end of you soon, brother. Put that tractor back on and get back to the J-O-B. You know it, cuss. Too Deadly, stay tuned. And add to the conversation, National Talk Black. And a big shout to NERS, National Israeli Service, takes across the country. We're based here at Bama Bripa Media, BBM, 98.7 FM, here in Cairns, on your dingy country. National Talk Black, Yarn Up Strong.
my sin to pride, emancipate mental slavery. And they said we were failing time. Showed them up, we stood the test of time. Time, I blame it on time, but regain it on time. So I claim it on time. Put soul in this image. This is music for the free spirit. Inspiration for those who really need it. Not those who listen, but those who really feel it.
Songs of our time, teachers of our story.
Let it be written in the mazes. Survival of a culture is a reason that we made it. Yeah.
Spirit ties, keepers of our story.
And the show will go on. Worshipers.
Songs of our time, teachers of our story.